Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe. Discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in-stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
This MLB season, FanDuel's Dinger Tuesday is back. And this year, all customers get a profit boost to bet home runs every week. So gear up to go yard all season long on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in select states. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly.
And I am your co-host, Austin.
Today, we are going to be talking about a case we've actually covered before, but this was back in 2022, I think, when we covered it first. So this is one of the most unsettling cases I've ever come across. And I actually covered this story way back when we first started, when I was doing videos. So the original episode
was
is like
original
number
YouTuber.
Three.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like number three of now almost 200. So we've come a long way. I'd like to think our audio and quality and everything has improved since then. But I thought this story was definitely worth retelling, especially given the updates that have happened within the last month. So do you remember the case? Well, I guess you wouldn't have been on it with me, but it's
but
the
I
case
listened to him back then.
You did?
Mm-hmm, when I would go walking.
So this is the case of Megan and Evelyn Boswell. Do you
remember
this one?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So the story of baby Evelyn Boswell is like I said, one of the most unsettling cases that I've come across. And it's confusing, it's frustrating, and above all, it's heartbreaking. It's a case that took these twists and turns that honestly no one saw coming, but at the same time, a lot of people saw coming. It's a case that's filled with deception, unanswered questions, and a search for a little girl that lasted far longer than it ever should have.
And there's an update this month.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess for you, it might be like, you know, pretty shocking, but for the true crime community, we're all pretty aware of what has happened. But what I'm going to do in this episode is just kind of go back to the beginning and tell the whole story chronologically with all the details that I can. Now, at the center of it all is Megan Boswell, a young mother whose words and actions over the course of this investigation left everyone shaking their heads. She wasn't just unhelpful. She was actively making things worse. Every time she opened her mouth, her story changed. And as investigators desperately tried to figure out where little Evelyn Boswell was, Megan sent them on this wild goose chase, with many labeling her as Casey Anthony 2.0. Evelyn was a 15-month-old baby girl who deserved the world. She's so cute. The pictures of her, she's got these big blue eyes, this little button nose. Like, she is just the most beautiful little baby. But instead of love and protection, she got lost in a tangled web of lies, neglect, and ultimately tragedy. When she was finally found, it was in a place no child should ever end up. And by that point, the truth about what happened to her had been buried under months of deception. This is the story of Evelyn Boswell, a little girl who never had a chance or a voice, and a case that still haunts everyone who followed it. But before we get into what happened, let's start with the person at the center of it all, Megan Boswell. So to understand this case, you have to understand Megan Boswell, who she was, how she grew up, and how she ended up in the position she was in when Evelyn was born. So Megan Renee Boswell was born in Tennessee and grew up in what many would call a dysfunctional family. Her childhood was far from stable or even pretty. Megan's mother, Angela Boswell, had a long history of legal trouble and questionable parenting choices. She bounced around from different homes, relationships, and situations, leaving behind a trail of problems wherever she went. Angela wasn't what most would call a loving or responsible mother, and Megan's childhood really reflected that instability. And it wasn't actually just her mom. Her dad was pretty unstable too when she was a kid, but he comes into the picture later to be a little bit more stable and ultimately kind of a, I don't want to use the word hero, but he ultimately is the reason Evelyn was found. So I want to give him some credit. But at one point, Megan was placed into foster care, which tells you a lot about the kind of upbringing that she had. Being removed from a biological parent is not something that happens without good reason. And often I see these cases where they should have been taken out a long time ago. So for kids to be taken out of a home, it has to be really effing bad. Like, mm-hmm. And it pains me to even say that, because it shouldn't have to get to that point. But she was removed from her home and placed in foster care. And this period of her life isn't well documented, but the fact that she ended up in the system says a lot. And it's been reported that both of Megan's parents struggled with drug use and domestic violence. In fact, on one occasion, Megan's older brother witnessed their mom stab their dad in the neck with a ballpoint pen while they were fighting.
Good Lord.
And when Megan was placed in foster care, her foster mother was taken aback by how neglected Megan was. Like, her hair was matted to her head and so infested with lice that she testified that she would take her to salons and just beg people, would offer to pay them anything if they could just help them sort out her hair. She was like, even if you have to take her outside to do it, can you please just help? But I know a lot of stylists, because I mean, I've done hair in the past, if you don't know that, if you're listening and don't know that, but I know a lot of stylists who are like, absolutely not. Like, they won't even allow it into their salon just because how infectious and contagious lice is. Mm-hmm. But it's just sad that, you know, she would go to these places, and I just picture this young child with hair matted to her head, infested with lice,
and nobody can help her.
Yeah. They ended up having to get a prescription to treat the lice and then cut off her hair. And she was filthy. Like, she'd been through a lot.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of people who have lice and they're in a very poor situation, mm-hmm. and they use gasoline.
Oh, God. I can't imagine putting gasoline on my child's head.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Kennedy, our daughter, had lice at one point. I mean, it's not even something that's only applicable to people in impoverished situations or households.
Right, it has nothing to do with it, yeah.
It can literally happen to absolutely anyone. But yeah, I mean, it does suck when it gets so bad. There are some cases that get so bad you have to get an actual prescription or go to a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. But despite her unstable childhood, Megan was described as quiet and pretty unremarkable in school. She attended Sullivan Central High School, where she was an average student, not known for getting into trouble, but not exactly excelling either. And those who knew her back then described her as someone who really didn't stand out much. She had friends, but she wasn't particularly popular. She wasn't involved in any kind of sports or activities. She was just there. Megan's relationships, however, tell a little bit of a different story. Her romantic life was messy and dramatic, a pattern that would continue well into adulthood, and probably a pattern she's emulating from watching her parents. She started dating Ethan Perry when she was just 13 years old, and Ethan, who was about 2 years older than her, was one of the first serious relationships that she had. By the time Ethan graduated from high school in 2017 and joined the Army, their relationship had already started to show cracks. They were one of those on-again, off-again couples, constantly arguing. And by the time Megan found out that she was pregnant, Ethan wasn't even sure if he was the father. He was very skeptical. Now, Ethan Perry, by all accounts, was skeptical about Megan's pregnancy from the start. And the timeline apparently just did not quite add up. So he had some doubts. But for a while, he went along with it. He was stationed at Fort Polk, Louisiana, when Evelyn was born in November of 2018. And while he wasn't physically there for the birth, he did maintain some communication with Megan, mostly through arguments and text messages. But Ethan was not the only one Megan was involved with. She had other relationships, some overlapping, some short-lived, all of them messy. And after Ethan, Megan started seeing a man named Hunter Wood. He was a local business owner. He ran a small restaurant in Tennessee, and their relationship moved fast. Megan moved in with him, started posting about their relationship on social media, and made it seem like she was just living this whole new life. But something was strange. People started noticing that she was rarely seen with Evelyn anymore. Before Hunter, Megan always had her daughter with her, but once she got into this new relationship, it was kind of like Evelyn just disappeared. So Megan's friends also noticed that she was acting differently. Caitlin Carter, who was a childhood friend of Megan's, later testified that Megan would go long periods of time without mentioning Evelyn. And when asked about her daughter, she would just give vague answers or brush it off entirely. It was a stark contrast to how she had been before. Another critical detail about Megan's behavior was her ability to just lie effortlessly. She told different people different stories, sometimes within the same conversation. Her stories about Evelyn's whereabouts started to not line up anymore, and she seemed to have an excuse for everything. Now, her relationship with Hunter Wood was short-lived, but it played a very crucial role in what happened after Thanksgiving of 2019. This is when things took a dark turn. Evelyn was last seen by her grandfather on Thanksgiving Day, and then from that point on, Megan's actions became more suspicious by the day. Instead of being this concerned mother looking for her daughter, Megan was out enjoying herself. She's going on trips with her boyfriend Hunter, staying in hotels, and just spending time with Hunter as if nothing was wrong. Now, Megan Boswell is at her core a manipulator. She grew up in an unstable home, bounced between different relationships, and when she became a mother, she repeated the same cycle of dysfunction that she had been raised in. But unlike her own upbringing, where she had at least been placed in foster care for protection, Evelyn did not get that chance. As we move forward in this story, keep in mind who Megan was, a young woman who lied as easily as she breathed, who prioritized her own wants over the needs of her child, and who, even as people around her started asking questions, just kept spinning stories to protect herself instead of her daughter. So now that we know who Megan Boswell is, let's go back to the beginning of Evelyn's life and the people involved in her short time here on Earth. Evelyn Mae Boswell was more than just a name and a headline. She was a baby who deserved love, care, and a future. And for the first part of her short life, she seemed to be a happy and thriving child. Those who spent time around Evelyn described her as being very bright, playful, and independent. She had blonde hair and big blue eyes and a smile that could light up a room. I will put pictures of her on our Instagram so that you can also see her. I suggest looking her up. Like, remember her face, because it really is just such a beautiful face, and this story is so tragic that she deserves to be remembered. But Evelyn was curious and loved to explore, and by the time she was 6 months old, she had willingly, apparently, I mean, this is, of course, according to Megan and some of her friends, but she had already transitioned from a bottle to a sippy cup, and then by 10 months old, she was walking. And 10 months old is pretty young to be walking, but she was advanced for her age, and she was full of energy, always moving and laughing. She had favorite things, just like any baby does. She loved bath time and would splash around excitedly whenever she got the chance. Her favorite food was sweet potatoes, and she enjoyed music, especially the song Baby Shark. If she heard it playing, she would instantly start bouncing or clapping her hands. She was fascinated by puppets, often giggling when someone made one dance for her. Evelyn was also affectionate. She loved to be held and cuddled, and she was drawn to people who showed her kindness. But despite all of her sweetness, there were signs that things weren't always perfect in her world. Some family members had noticed that Megan wasn't always attentive, and there were moments when Evelyn was left in situations that raised concerns. Now, I'm going to play for you a short clip of Megan talking about Evelyn. Take a listen.
She's just a really good-hearted baby in general. Like, textbook how you want a baby to be, like, has hit every milestone early, you know what I mean? Well, when she was 6 months old, she actually put a bottle on her own. It went straight to a sippy cup. She started walking probably around, like, 10 months. That was kind of hard, though, because she's, like, not, like, small as in, like, underfed, you know what I'm saying? But, like, she was a preemie when she was born. She's, like, a smaller baby, and she kind of had trouble, like, balancing her weight, but she finally got the hold of it. She's starting to say a lot of words and, you know.
Tell me what kind of things she likes to do. What kind of, is she into any sort of TV shows?
Only Baby Shark. We went to Texas to see her dad, Ethan, and she slept the whole way there. Like, I had to make her wake up to eat and stuff like that. And that's like a 24-hour drive there.
What? She slept for 24 hours? And yeah, that's not normal.
That's not normal. Girl, you shouldn't be saying things like that outside. That makes me think you gave her something so that she would sleep the whole car ride. No baby
sleeps for 24 hours and you got to wake them up to eat. At 10 months old?
And is just fine with being strapped to a car seat for 24 hours.
Is this a 10-month-old baby?
Yeah. Well, who knows how old she was at the time that she made that car ride.
I guess it doesn't really matter if she's 6 months or 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
No baby sleeps for 24 hours.
No, that's not normal. By the time that she went missing, she was 12 months old. Just to give you an idea. So
gotcha.
Caitlin Carter, Megan's longtime friend, later recalled an incident that stood out to her. She had gone to dinner with Megan and Evelyn at Chili's in early December of 2019. So this is one of the last times anyone outside of the family saw Evelyn alive. She noticed that Evelyn looked very unkempt, that her clothes were dirty and she smelled really bad, and that she clearly had not been bathed recently. And Caitlin said that she could smell Evelyn from across the table, and it was clear that Megan wasn't properly caring for her daughter.
That's heartbreaking.
It really makes me so sick.
Yeah.
At the time, Caitlin didn't think too much of it. She figured maybe Megan was just having a rough day or was overwhelmed. But in hindsight, it was one of the many red flags that something was not right. Evelyn was a baby who deserved love and stability. She should have had a safe home, bedtime stories, and a childhood full of happy memories. But instead, her life was cut short before she ever had a chance to really grow. So now that we know a little more about Evelyn and who she was, we're going to move on to the last time anyone saw her, which was around Thanksgiving of 2019. Now, the last confirmed sighting of Evelyn Boswell by her family was on Thanksgiving Day, which was November 28th of 2019. Her grandfather, Tommy Boswell Sr., saw her that day for a family gathering, and from all accounts, she seemed fine. She was happy, healthy, and acting like her usual self. There were no signs that anything was wrong. But after that day, Evelyn's family never saw her again. And in the weeks that followed, family members started asking Megan about Evelyn and where she was. but the answers they got just did not make sense. Megan first claimed that Evelyn was staying with Ethan Perry, her biological father, who she said had taken emergency custody after he noticed a picture of Evelyn with what appeared to be a bruise on her head. And this was quickly proven to be false when Ethan, who was stationed in Louisiana, denied ever having Evelyn. Next, Megan told people Evelyn was with a babysitter. Does that sound familiar? A woman named Angela, not to be confused with her mother, Angela Boswell. However, no one in Megan's life had ever heard of this babysitter before, and when investigators pressed her for more details, Megan couldn't provide a last name, an address, or any proof that this woman even existed.
Wouldn't that be enough right there? Like, whenever people are looking for your baby and you're like, they're with a babysitter. Babysitter's name's Michael. I don't know the last name of the babysitter. I don't have any information about them. They're just, trust me, they're with their babysitter.
Yeah.
How can anybody even get away with that?
Well, thankfully, she didn't. Obviously, Casey Anthony did. And that is my Roman Empire, the hill I will die on. But at least the only silver lining out of, and it's a teeny tiny sliver of a silver lining, but the only silver lining is that there is justice at the end. So that gives you something to hold on to, okay, while I tell you this awful story. So then Megan claimed that Evelyn was with her own mother, Angela Boswell, and that Angela had taken her to a campground in Virginia. But this was yet another lie because, you see, Angela was with her boyfriend and was arrested in Wilkes County, North Carolina, on February 21st with her boyfriend, William McLeod. And the two were caught in possession of a stolen vehicle, a gray 2007 BMW that had been reported missing. Now, this car was of particular interest to law enforcement because it was linked to the investigation into Evelyn's disappearance, which I will get to. Authorities had initially been searching for the BMW as part of their efforts to locate Evelyn, based on information suggesting that Angela and William might have been involved in her whereabouts. However, when they were arrested, Evelyn was nowhere to be found, and Angela denied knowing where she was. So Angela and her boyfriend were charged with theft of property and possession of stolen goods. Law enforcement continued to interrogate Angela regarding Evelyn, but her answers, much like Megan's, were inconsistent and unreliable. She later became one of several people investigated for possibly obstructing the search for Evelyn. Now, Megan Boswell systematically tried to shift suspicion away from herself by throwing blame on others, first on Ethan Perry, Evelyn's biological father, allegedly, and then on her own mother, Angela Boswell, and then, of course, this random babysitter. So, I mean, of course, by everyone else, before investigators and authorities found out about this, this should have been red flags to everyone else, but it just, for whatever reason, wasn't. But Megan was playing a very dangerous game, trying to manipulate everyone into looking at the wrong places. But the more she lied, the more tangled her web became. Eventually, her stories fell apart, leading to her eventual arrest and the eventual discovery of Evelyn. But it didn't stop there. She told a friend in late December that she had gone on a trip to Blowing Rock, North Carolina, but never mentioned Evelyn being with her. And she later texted another friend that she would be picking Evelyn up next Monday after an appointment, even though no one had seen Evelyn in weeks. Her lies escalated in January of 2020 when a friend texted her to see if she still had Evelyn. The friend literally texted her saying, "Do you even still have her?" I mean, at that point, why are you even bothering asking her? Why aren't you letting someone else know?
Call the police.
But Megan responded, quote, "My grandma does right now because my mom's sick and stuff. I didn't want to bring her around." The friend responded, "Will you have Evelyn with you? I really miss that little baby face. I bet she's grown so much since I've seen her in like a month." And Megan, all she replied was, "Yes, period."
What the hell?
By early February of 2020, Evelyn had not been seen by anyone in over 2 months. Family members were growing more suspicious, and Megan's excuses were simply not holding up anymore. So Tommy Boswell Sr., which is Evelyn's grandfather and Megan's dad, had been asking about her repeatedly, but Megan just kept dodging the question. So finally, he was like, "If you don't bring her to me today, I'm going to the police." And Megan did not bring him to Evelyn. So on February 18th of 2020, Tommy Boswell Sr. walked into the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office and filed a missing person report for his granddaughter. Authorities took the case seriously from the start. They issued an Amber Alert for Evelyn, and within 24 hours, Megan was brought in for questioning. But the problem was she would not tell the truth. The moment that the Amber Alert went out, Megan just doubled down on her lies, telling investigators that her mom had Evelyn. Investigators spent days trying to chase down leads based on her claims, none of which, of course, were true. And Megan just kept making things worse, delaying the search for Evelyn and wasting critical time that could have been spent finding her daughter. Megan had lied for months, but now law enforcement was finally starting to unravel the truth. The moment Evelyn Boswell was officially reported missing, law enforcement began working tirelessly to track her down, but they were met with major obstacles, which were really just Megan Boswell herself. Instead of helping police find her daughter, she deliberately misled them at every turn. Now, I have a clip of an interrogation video just so you can kind of hear what it sounds like, although it is kind of hard to understand, but just go ahead and take a listen.
When is the last time you saw Evelyn alive?
Whenever mom left with him.
When? Back in December? Okay. Who has seen Evelyn alive since then?
Just mom.
So, what do you think happened to
her? I don't know. She's up in Virginia. Somebody that mom knows. She used to, like, stay up there or something.
Why would she take her from me? And I'll give her back.
I don't know.
Why in the hell did you not tell us this to anyone?
I don't know. Maybe she might do something if you don't, like, try to get to her.
Thought your mom might do something? I can understand that.
Sorry.
Listen to me. We want to find this baby.
I think I'll do somewhere. I just never find her again. So I was talking to you all about her and
things like that. So I know it's hard to understand what she's saying in this, but she's still telling investigators that her mom has Evelyn and that the reason she didn't tell authorities was because she was afraid her mom was going to do something. And then she starts crying, or at least acting like she's crying. I don't know if there were actual any tears, but that is basically what happened in the interrogation. And they wasted countless hours chasing down these false leads given by Megan. From the moment she sat down with law enforcement, her story just kept shifting. And Sheriff Jeff Cassidy later described her as someone who, quote, never told the same story twice. Now, as we know, Megan's first statement to police was that Evelyn was with Ethan Perry, her alleged father, who had taken emergency custody. But when law enforcement contacted Ethan, he was shocked. He had not seen Evelyn since mid-2019. He was still stationed in Louisiana and had never taken custody of Evelyn. So that lead was a dead end. And when confronted with the fact that Ethan didn't have Evelyn, Megan changed her story. She claimed that she was with the babysitter, Angela, but when police asked for her last name or address or contact information, she had nothing. This Angela person, the Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez of the story, did not exist. So another dead end. And so then she pivots again, and this is when she's starting to just pin it on her mom, saying, well, it's my mother, Angela Boswell, and she describes the vehicle she's in, and it was the BMW, the gray BMW with this certain license plate.
So hasn't been anywhere near them.
Correct. So she tells the police that she took this BMW with this license plate information, and that's what eventually led to Angela's arrest, because I know it's confusing, but the BMW was a stolen vehicle that Angela and her boyfriend were in. But Megan was telling the police that they were in that vehicle and Evelyn was with them. So it's like kind of this weird half-truth. It's like a lead mm-hmm. that led to an arrest, but not the arrest they were intending.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's to send them on a lead.
Yes, exactly.
Divert the attention.
Exactly. But with every false lead that she provided, investigators became more and more frustrated. Sullivan County Sheriff Jeff Cassidy publicly stated, quote, every time we talk to her, her story changes. I'm serious when I say she has given us so many false leads that it has been nearly impossible to find Evelyn. As law enforcement worked tirelessly to locate Evelyn, Megan made a highly publicized appearance on the news, an interview that only raised more red flags. Take a listen.
Like, and when that was. Well, actually, I want to talk about that. I've told TBI where to find her in Mendota. My mom took her to a campground and a silver camper, and if they don't go tonight, I'm going to go find her myself. Because I've told them, and they're not really, like, taking it seriously, and if they don't go tonight, like, I will go myself and go get her.
Tell me about the last time, though, that you saw Evelyn. Tell me what you guys did and when that was.
We went to go out to eat, and then my mom came and got her. She was wearing a little hot pink tracksuit with the matching bow, little matching shoes.
And was this December 20, like right after Christmas?
A little bit before Christmas.
It's so obvious she's full of shit. And it's heartbreaking to picture this little girl in her pink little tracksuit and matching bow and shoes and stuff. And like, you can tell how casual she is that she's just like, oh yeah, and I'm going to go get her myself if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just, it's all so obvious.
Right. Right.
And I don't think it's just obvious in hindsight. Like, I would think it has to be obvious when you're in that room interviewing somebody who's missing their kid. Because if I was missing a 10-month-old kid or a 12-month-old baby or whatever, that's your baby.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not know where your baby is for 10 minutes, you know what I mean? Or an hour. Let's say you're at work and you're taking care of our baby. Like, I might not know where she is for a little bit, but like, you don't go hours without knowing where your baby is.
Right. You know, she's safe with me. And
yes.
If you came home and I she started wasn't telling here. You she's with someone else and she doesn't show back up that same night, you're asking questions.
I'm going, where the hell is she?
Yes.
Like, there's no, she's here.
There's no sense of urgency.
Yeah. So any of these cases where it's like, oh yeah, I was confused on where she was at, or, oh, she's here. And then you go check that and she's not there. It's like immediate red sirens.
Yes. Yeah. Now, during her February 24th interview with WJHL, Megan sat down and made a very bizarre statement saying, I know where she is. I can't tell you. I'd be in so much trouble. Now, when pressed, what? She refused to clarify what she meant. And this statement infuriated both the public and law enforcement. If she knew where Evelyn was, why wasn't she saying anything?
And why is she telling all these lies?
Yes. And why would she be in trouble for revealing her location? And why wouldn't you just go get her yourself if you knew exactly where she was? So Sheriff Cassidy responded immediately after the interview, saying, if Megan knew where Evelyn was, why hasn't she helped us find her? Now, Megan's behavior in the interview was obviously unsettling. She appeared strangely calm for someone whose child was missing. She didn't cry, she didn't beg for help, and didn't even seem particularly worried. Instead, she just kept blaming other people, claiming that she had trusted the wrong people with her daughter. And it became obvious that she was not trying to help. Now, I'm going to play another clip of this interview Megan did 1 week after the Amber Alert was issued. Again, she's acting like she's more determined to find Evelyn than the cops are, despite the fact that she never even reported her daughter missing. Her dad did, and she is the one sending them on this wild goose chase. So just listen. It's just going to make you more mad, but just give it a listen.
And Wednesday will be a week since the Amber Alert went out. Tell me what you're thinking right now.
I just don't know if the person who has her is like maybe scared that they're going to get in trouble. But they won't. They just bring her back.
What are you thinking about her current status right now? Do you think she is okay? Do you think she's being taken care of? And what is your message to authorities right now? To the TBI, Sullivan County, and all of the sheriff's departments and any authority that's working on this case?
Just that if they don't take it seriously, what I just said, I will go find her myself. They've told me before they'll arrest me for tampering with evidence, and I told them on the phone, I was like, I don't care if you arrest me for tampering with evidence. If you go up there, I'm going to deny it.
Sheriff Cassidy told the media on Friday I was there that you were giving conflicting statements.
Because I wouldn't necessarily. I was trying to protect my mom, maybe in hopes, oh, well, she'd just tell them where Evelyn was, but obviously she's not going to.
So now you're coming out and you're saying this is the honest truth, that you know where she is.
I know she has to be in a campground in Mendota with somebody. And mom told me that they had a silver camper, and that's all she would tell me.
Are you cooperating as much as you can with TBI and the Sullivan County Sheriff's Department?
I am.
Before we move on, though, I have to play also this clip of Megan's boyfriend, Hunter Wood, who was interviewed after Evelyn disappeared, because we have to talk about this one also.
I've never met the father in my life as well. To my knowledge, the entire time that I've known Maggie, I've never seen the baby, of course, but as well as the baby has been with the father, you know, back from military leave. And that is all that I've known about the child, you know, never seen it, never seen her or anything of that matter. I've never seen the baby in my life.
Hunter Wood says he briefly dated Evelyn's mother, Megan Boswell.
She applied for a job at my restaurant, Hunter T's Chicken Shack, and it wasn't like a relationship. It was an on and off going, you know what I'm saying, type deal. It wasn't like an all out, like, you know, relationship.
He says he's known Megan Boswell for about 2 months and never saw baby Evelyn.
All I've seen is pictures of her. I have no relationship with that child whatsoever.
He says he's received threats over the internet, causing him to shut down his restaurant's Facebook page.
To my knowledge, the entire time that I've known Maggie, I've never seen the baby, of course, but as well as the baby has been with the father, you know, back from military leave. And that is all that I've known about the child.
He wants the focus to be on finding the child and not on him and his business.
There's been a bunch of stuff said about, you know what I'm saying, my restaurant, Hunter T's Chicken Shack, things negative towards, you know what I'm saying, to try to, you know, stir away the main key factor of us just trying to operate.
Can we talk about two things that stood out? First of all, he refers to Evelyn as it. I've never seen it or her, he says. Mm-hmm. And then he plugs his restaurant twice, and that really bothers me that he's taking this opportunity to be like, my restaurant, Hunter T's Chicken Shack, and people who are going on my Facebook page, Hunter T's Chicken Shack, that's my restaurant. Like, shut the fuck up about the restaurant. Nobody gives a shit about your restaurant. We're trying to find this missing baby. Right. But he's like, I've never seen the child. I'm not involved with her whatsoever. Like, there is zero compassion coming from this guy, and that infuriates me. Mm-hmm. I want to point out he doesn't have anything to do with Evelyn disappearing. This is all Megan's responsibility, but
dude,
I don't like this
compassion.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just, it sucks that you're like guilty by association, but you're a douche. So anyway, we're going to move on. But before we do, I want to take a moment to thank the sponsor of today's episode, ZBiotics. Let's just face it. There is no diet out there that is perfectly balanced. Either I'm eating too much of this or not enough of that. My ratio is typically way too many carbs, not enough protein. I'm sure a lot of you can relate, but getting enough fiber is also a big struggle for me too. That's why I started using sugar to fiber probiotic mix every day. The PhD microbiologists over at ZBiotics understand that extra sugar is all but impossible to avoid these days, and 95% of Americans do not get enough fiber. So they genetically engineered a probiotic to convert some extra sugar from our everyday diet into a prebiotic fiber called levan. Sugar to fiber produces an enzyme called levan sucrase to break down sugar into its molecular building blocks and then stacks those blocks together to make fiber. This leads to a more balanced microbiome, the key to a healthy gut. One stick pack of sugar to fiber, and you will get a daily dose of fiber from the foods you already eat. So I started drinking sugar to fiber every day because I liked having a way to get closer to my daily recommended dose of fiber without needing to overhaul my diet. And I really like knowing that this fiber was coming from extra sugar I was already eating and didn't really need. Plus, there's really no taste to this. You can mix it in with your water and not even notice that it's there. In 2025, I am prioritizing my microbiome, and sugar to fiber is my daily insurance that I'm getting enough fiber. Go to zbiotics.com/mama and use the code Mama at checkout for 15% off any first-time orders of ZBiotics probiotics. ZBiotics has a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you are unsatisfied for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked. Thank you so much to ZBiotics for sponsoring today's episode. Now let's get back to the story of Evelyn Boswell. Now, after days of chasing false leads, law enforcement had enough, and on February 25th of 2020, Megan Boswell was arrested for filing false reports. Sheriff Cassidy made it very clear why he took this step, saying, quote, Megan Boswell provided false information that led us to spend valuable time and resources following leads that were completely false.
Why couldn't they just arrest her sooner on speculation that she has something to do with it? You can't just do that.
You have to have probable cause. And until, I know, trust
isn't
me.
Probable cause all the goose chase you're sending people on and your stories that don't add up?
Yes.
And then going on and saying you know where she's at, but you'd be in trouble? I mean, how is all of that not enough?
I hear you. I think that they have to be very careful because they have to have more information and they have to seek out the leads she's giving, even if they do prove to be false. Like, you have to prove they're false first. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just be like, I have a feeling you're lying. You kind of have to prove that they're lying. And so I understand why it took a minute to actually charge her. Same thing happened with Casey Anthony. They brought her in for questioning, but they couldn't keep her there initially. And then they were able to keep her because of writing bad checks or stealing money, forging checks of her friends. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of like red tape and it sucks, but I get what you're saying and I get the frustration. I see both sides. Now, at the time of her arrest, police still had no idea where Evelyn was. So that's another problem. Same thing with Casey Anthony. There's so many parallels, but at the time that these two were arrested, they still had not found the babies. So by taking Megan into custody, they were hoping that the pressure would finally force her to tell the truth. But unfortunately, she still refused to talk.
When did she get taken into custody?
That was in February 25th of 2020. So this was about a week after she was even reported missing.
And right before that early March COVID, where the whole world was like
shutting down.
Yeah.
Was that year?
March of 2020. 5 years ago. Isn't that nuts?
Yes, that is nuts. Now, from the moment the investigation began, Megan Boswell had done nothing but lie. And instead of showing concern for her missing daughter, she spent weeks dodging responsibility, pointing fingers, and throwing investigators off track. Her lies only prolonged the search for Evelyn, a search that was about to come to a devastating end. After weeks of searching and following these false leads, investigators finally received the break they needed. And on March 6th of 2020, a tip led law enforcement to a family-owned property in Blountville, Tennessee, a location that was connected to the Boswell family. I guess it was kind of like a compound where multiple family members lived on the same property. Now, authorities arrived at the address with a search warrant, hoping to uncover any clues about Evelyn's whereabouts, but what they found was far worse than what anyone had feared. Inside a small playhouse that Tommy Boswell Sr. had actually built for Megan when she was a child, they found a trash can. And when investigators looked inside, they made the horrifying discovery, the remains of Evelyn Boswell. She had been placed inside a black trash bag, her tiny body wrapped in a gray fleece blanket that had a pink elephant print. Hold on one second. The bag had been stuffed inside the trash can upside down, and her head was positioned towards the bottom, so she was placed in it upside down. I don't know how people can do this.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling right now because we have a baby about this age, and I just cannot imagine it. It's, like, totally unfathomable. Evelyn was also a name that we were considering, which just makes it even more like intense. So sorry, guys, if I'm making you cry. But her body was also covered in aluminum foil, which was a detail that really baffled investigators. And alongside her remains, authorities found a diaper, a toy, and several articles of baby clothing. But the gruesome scene made it clear Evelyn had been discarded like garbage. An autopsy later confirmed what many had feared, that her death was no accident. The official cause of death was asphyxiation, meaning that she had been intentionally smothered or suffocated, guaranteeing that her last moments on Earth were full of terror and fear. The report also revealed that her body had been in the shed for months, aligning with the timeline that she had last been seen alive that first week in December by her friend, by Megan's friend. Now, this meant that for over 3 months, Megan Boswell had been lying, making up stories, and watching investigators search for a little girl she already knew was dead. When news broke that Evelyn had been found, Megan Boswell showed no visible signs of grief, despite having spent months giving interviews and insisting that she wanted her daughter back. She had no emotional reaction of the discovery of Evelyn's body.
None.
She didn't cry. She didn't ask what happened. She didn't express shock or devastation. Instead, she remained silent, refusing to answer any more questions. Authorities later confirmed that Megan never inquired about the autopsy results or the cause of her death. Her indifference was unsettling, and it just reinforced what many already believed, which was that Megan knew exactly what happened to Evelyn from the very beginning. While Megan remained silent, the rest of the world reacted with shock and outrage. Evelyn's grandfather, Tommy Boswell Sr., who had initially reported her missing, was devastated. Family members who had once defended Megan now turned against her, realizing that she had been lying to them all along. Megan's friends also felt betrayed. Caitlin Carter, who had texted Megan multiple times asking about Evelyn, and she was the last person to really see her alive, said that she felt sickened when she heard the news, saying, quote, "I trusted Megan. I believed her when she said Evelyn was safe, and now I know she was lying the entire time." The public outcry was overwhelming. People who had followed the case from the beginning were horrified to learn that Evelyn had been dead the entire time and that Megan had been giving interviews and misleading police. Not only that, though, prior to her ever being reported, she was traveling with Hunter and going on these trips and posting pictures at aquariums, something I'm sure Evelyn would have loved to see.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff Jeff Cassidy also released a statement expressing his anger and frustration, saying, quote, "This is not the outcome we wanted. This is not the outcome anyone wanted. This little girl was failed by the very person who was supposed to protect her."
That's what I'm sitting here thinking. I'm sitting here thinking, number one, death penalty. Number two, even if you can't 100% pin it on her, this is the person who's responsible for her.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a way of like, oh, and she was kidnapped and killed. Like, she obviously has no remorse. She knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You robbed a little person of their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
You robbed a human life
mm-hmm.
of your kid. So whether it can be 100% pinned on you or not, you were a part of this.
Yeah.
And you should pay the piper.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying, because even if it was Hunter, like just hypothetically,
yeah,
that did something, Megan Boswell is equally as culpable because this was her child and it was...
And she covered the shit up and she sent people on goose chases and she knew what it was.
Yeah.
So it's horse shit.
Yeah, the whole thing. So at this point, law enforcement had only one final task, which was to make sure Megan Boswell was held fully accountable for what she had done. With Evelyn's remains now recovered and the autopsy confirming that she had been intentionally suffocated, law enforcement wasted no time in holding Megan Boswell accountable. On March 6th, 2020, the same day Evelyn was found, police announced that more charges were coming for Megan. She had already been arrested once for filing false reports in February, but now authorities had enough evidence to charge her with something much more serious. And on August 19th of 2020, a grand jury indicted Megan Boswell on 19 separate charges, including two counts of felony murder, one count of aggravated child abuse, one count of aggravated child neglect, one count of tampering with evidence, one count of abuse of a corpse, 12 counts of false reporting, and one count of failure to report a death under suspicious circumstances. I love that they threw absolutely every possible charge they could at her.
Right.
Authorities confirmed that Megan was the only suspect in Evelyn's death. They found no evidence that anyone else, including Hunter, had been involved in the murder. She had acted alone. The day Megan was officially charged with murder, she was arrested without incident and booked into the Sullivan County Jail. And this time, her bond was set at $1 million, ensuring she would never walk free while she was awaiting her trial. Public reaction to her indictment was swift and filled with rage. People who had followed the case from the beginning were furious that Megan had spent months lying and pretending to be this concerned mother, all while knowing Evelyn was dead. Outside the Sullivan County Courthouse, a makeshift memorial for Evelyn began to grow. People left stuffed animals, flowers, and handwritten letters expressing their heartbreak over what had happened to her. Strangers who had never met Evelyn were grieving for her, heartbroken by the senseless way that she had been taken from the world. After being indicted for murder, Megan remained disturbingly emotionless. While in custody, she never confessed to killing Evelyn. Instead, she just continued to lie, insisting that someone else did it and was trying to set her up. However, prosecutors were not buying it. The evidence against Megan was overwhelming, and her history of manipulation and deception was well documented. She had no more excuses left. As the case moved toward trial, the question was no longer if Megan was guilty, but rather how severe her punishment would be. Would she take a plea deal, or would she face a jury who had already made up their minds about her? The next phase of the case would determine whether Megan Boswell would ever walk free again or if she would spend the rest of her life behind bars. She made her first court appearance following her indictment in August of 2020, and wearing an orange jumpsuit, had the nerve to plead not guilty to all of the charges. Despite the overwhelming evidence against her, she refused to take responsibility. So her defense attorney began working to delay the trial as much as possible, filing multiple motions, questioning the evidence, and requesting additional time for psychological evaluations. One of Megan's key defense arguments was that she had a low IQ. Nobody's arguing with that, but she may also not have been fully aware of the consequences of her actions.
Bullshit.
That's what her defense team was trying
to argue.
Did
she have a defense team hired or assigned to her?
I don't know.
And back to the shit, how do you defend this person?
Right.
I've brought that up a million times before. Like, how do you sit there and go, all right, Megan, we're going to walk in here soon. So you did kill her? Yeah, I killed her. Okay, well, here's the story we're going to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's claim that you're not very smart. Oh, yeah, let's definitely claim that. And let's, like, how do you do that shit?
One of the other things they tried to claim was that they couldn't prove Megan suffocated her. They were trying to claim that she could have died from positional asphyxiation from being upside down in that trash can, which is another disturbing image to play in your mind.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that's what happened. I believe she was placed into the trash can after she had already passed. But the defense team was trying to argue that as if that makes it any better.
It
makes it fucking worse.
Yeah.
To think of this child dying from positional asphyxiation because you put her there. She didn't just find herself there. You know, like, just, this whole case just enrages me.
It's infuriating.
The way she kept trying to slither her way out of any kind of culpability. Now, as the trial date approached, the prosecution laid out their case against Megan, presenting a damning timeline of events. Evelyn was last seen on Thanksgiving of 2019. Megan never reported her missing. Her own father had to do it. Megan repeatedly lied to law enforcement, sending them on a wild goose chase with false leads. Evelyn's body was found in a storage shed. So it was like a storage shed turned into a playhouse. But anyways, regardless, it was on family property. She's wrapped in a blanket, stuffed into a trash can, and covered in aluminum foil. This girl did not do this herself. It wasn't like she accidentally wandered into the playhouse. The autopsy confirmed asphyxiation, that Evelyn had been smothered. And they also pointed out that Megan continued lying even after Evelyn was found, showing no signs of grief or remorse. Throughout all of the hearings, which were televised and broadcast on YouTube, like the court TV often will broadcast live these trials, but throughout the whole thing, Megan remained emotionless. She did not cry, plead, or show any reaction to the evidence that was being presented. Witnesses who attended the trial noted how detached and indifferent she appeared. In contrast, members of the public and Evelyn's remaining family were visibly emotional. Her friends got up there and cried more than Megan ever did. And after months of legal proceedings, Megan's trial finally reached its conclusion, and the jury only deliberated for a few hours before returning with a guilty verdict on all of her charges, including felony murder, aggravated child abuse, and false reporting. During her sentencing, the judge did not hold back, stating, quote, "Megan Boswell's actions were not just negligent, they were deliberate and cruel. Evelyn Boswell never had a chance, and the person responsible for her suffering will now face the consequences," end quote. I want to point out, too, that during the trial, they brought in someone who was tasked with cleaning up Megan Boswell's trailer after the arrest, and the place was filthy. I'm talking like hoarder-level filthy. Feces on the ground, trash, open food boxes on the ground. You couldn't see the floor. You couldn't see the beds. Like, it was absolutely no place for a child to be living.
Mm-hmm.
Megan was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And as the verdict was read, Megan showed no emotion. She did not cry. She didn't react. It was as if she was still refusing to acknowledge what had happened. For many, Megan's conviction brought some closure, but it did not erase the pain of what had happened. Evelyn was a child who never had a voice, and her life was taken by the very person who was supposed to protect her. Megan Boswell will spend the rest of her life behind bars. I hope she gets the shit beat out of her while she's behind bars. But the memory of Evelyn Boswell will have to live on in the hearts of those who fought for her. This case is a heartbreaking testament to why it is so important to speak up for children who cannot speak for themselves. These friends, I know this is hindsight 2020, so I'm not trying to shame anyone who saw the red flags or who had questions, but was this avoidable? I don't know. I just know that if you see something, say something. Mm-hmm. If anything else, it sticks with you from this trial, this whole story, is it just let it be this. If you see something, say something. So thank you for listening to Evelyn's story. We will catch you next week on Mama Mystery. Do you want to do the out before I start crying again?
Mama Mystery out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.